Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today. Our first Scripture reading is Psalm 1, the very first Psalm. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, the sixth chapter. Verses 17 through 26. Hear God's word to us today. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And everyone in the crowd was trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This passage is titled Sermon on the Mount, on the Plain. Oops, almost messed up. I'm so glad the choir's behind me. Is Sermon on the Plain. And it's familiar to most of us. It parallels the Sermon on the
Mount.
There you go. It does. And that is in the Gospel of Matthew. Both sermon motifs are about blessings and about woes. And certainly, both could be a sermon in itself. So today we're going to just let the woes go, and we're going to focus on the blessings. Are you thankful for that?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. For indeed we are blessed people, and we live blessed lives. I like this image of Jesus on this picture that you can see, even though I'm sure his skin was probably just a tad darker there. But I like this idea of him sitting down among the people that have gathered around him. He's teaching them, but then he's also healing them. Scripture says he healed everyone who came to him. Can you imagine what it must have been like to be one of those people sitting there with Jesus in front of you, being healed, being in the presence of Jesus, and then hearing about blessings. Could they experience these blessings right now that Jesus is talking about? Could they? So then it made me think, what would their understandings of blessings be? The common meaning is to be favored by God. God is the source of all blessings. And blessings were part of their faith tradition. Each of those people gathered around Jesus would understand the meaning of blessings. You see, they would remember the blessing that God gave to Abraham, the blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob, the blessings that Jacob gave to his sons, his 12 sons. Blessings have been passed down in their heritage from generation to generation, blessing to blessing, connecting them to God, who is the originator of all the blessings. Now, you and me, we don't carry this same sense of generational blessings, do we? Our modern interpretation of blessings are more of an individual application. How we experience blessings in our own personal lives is more how we see blessings. It's like something happens good to us and we say, aren't we blessed? Or something happens to our neighbor and things are going well and we say, aren't they blessed? That is how we usually think of blessings. Now, John O'Donohue, in his book, To Bless the Space Between Us, which, by the way, is a wonderful book of blessings, he articulates so beautifully what a blessing is to him. And I think it connects with you and me as well. It certainly speaks to me. He writes, there is a quiet light that shines in every heart. I just want to stop and say, I like that idea of a quiet light that shines in every heart. He goes on to say, there's a quiet light that shines in every heart. It draws no attention to itself, though it is always secretly there. It is what illuminates our minds to see beauty, our desire to see possibility, and our hearts to love life. This shy inner light is what enables us to recognize and receive our very presence here as a blessing. He's saying that your very presence is a blessing. I really love that. For this inner light that he is talking about is the divine light of God, of course, that is within each of us. God's presence and deeds helps us to see beauty, to give us possibilities that are mixed with hope, and also to love life. Isn't this not what God desires in our life, to love life? What do you say? Yeah, that God desires for us to love our lives. We were created, we were made to give and receive blessings because our very lives are a blessing. It's a wonderful thought that I hope you'll carry with you throughout the week and hold on to that. Now, in my own experience, I've come to realize how blessings are best experienced and realized within a community. But also, sometimes, blessings are hidden. That has been true in my own life. I'm going to share a couple stories with you. I'll never forget that night that I was an on-call chaplain walking the hospital halls at 2 a.m. I was at Loyola University Medical Center. I think they had 6 intensive care units throughout the hospital. And here I am walking the halls at 2 a.m. It was always really a holy time for me. a time to reflect on the day, to think about all the people I had visited. But this night, I had another thought. You see, just hours earlier, I was with a grieving family saying goodbye to a loved one who was becoming an organ donor. I'm remembering the family around the person's bed. I'm holding their head, their sadness, and their grief. And I'm thinking about them as I'm walking the halls, because now in this early morning hour, I realize that another person right now was in surgery, receiving the life-giving organ. A surgery that for that family was answered prayer. For that family, it was the sure presence of God and a true blessing. But for the family saying their goodbyes, the blessing is hidden. It took me a long time to realize this hiddenness of blessings. So I have another story to share with you, and some of you will know this if you were with me when I was here 12 years ago. It was when my mother died. If you remember, I was supposed to preach that Sunday, and she died on Saturday, and I had a colleague that stepped up for me on Sunday and preached because I had to travel to St. Louis quickly. She just died. She died quickly. And I couldn't get there to be with her. I couldn't get there to say my goodbye to her. And I remember asking, why? And I know you sometimes have that same question in your mind. Why this? Why now? With the whys, though, came insight to me. A quiet insight in the darkness of night. God often gives me insight at those wee hours of the morning. And I realized that it was a blessing for my mother to die the way she did. No suffering, no pain, just gone. And I remember many of her friends told me at the funeral, I hope I go like that. And I remember thinking, wow, I hope I go like that. This blessing was hidden blessing for me that I could not see at first. But it opened my heart, you see, to have a broader perspective of blessings and our connections to one another. My mother's blessing eventually became my blessing too, and I indeed am thankful that she didn't suffer. And for the family of the person who donated their loved one organs, I believe that they could find a blessing too, as they could receive a blessing in knowing that new life came from their loved one. Hidden blessings become visible in community. The connections we have with one another takes me back to the Sermon on the Plain and not the Sermon on the Mount. I did that just for you. On the Sermon on the Plain. Because you know, now Jesus is sitting here with all these people gathered around him. And he's teaching them about blessings from the perspective of the gathered community. You'll notice he calls the people his disciples. Now these disciples are not just the 12, it's more than just the 12. So you see, his words are empowering words. He's lifting these people up, saying, you're my disciple. And he's equipping them to be bearers of his message, but also bearers of blessings. More and more people were learning about why Jesus came to live among us. And he came to make their lives better, not just in the next life. Oh, yes, we can hold on to that promise, but he came to make their life better now, in their present life. Jesus said to them, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Jesus is opening up their hearts now to see blessings coming in them in a greater, expansive way. By embodying God's love in a visible way, Jesus is teaching them about the blessings that he himself gives to them, and then how they will learn to embody the same love so that they can become blessings to others. Jesus is giving them this new hope that life will change for them, and life did change for them. Life did change for all those who grew to know who Jesus was. Churches were formed, remember? And in the community of the church, people were cared for. Food was given to those that were hungry, right? And the poor were helped and supported, and those who were sad and who wept, they found joy in the love that was expressed to each other in this wonderful community. The church living out Jesus' calling to be a blessing. I agree with John Donahue that there's a quiet light that shines in every heart. Each one of you have this light in you. You really do. It might seem hidden, but the light is there. It does illumine our minds to see beauty, our desires to see possibility, and our hearts to love life. This is the gift that God gives us through Christ. And this light always also helps us to see the blessings that are given to us all the time. For indeed, we are blessed and we lived blessed lives. But I also believe that this quiet light that shines in every heart, that shines in your heart, is God's very presence that prompts us to see ways that we can be a blessing for others. We can do this. We can be a blessing for others. For God's love pours out into our hearts, and then it becomes visible. Visible blessings for the world to see. And then truly, very truly, our very lives are a blessing. You are a blessing. Let's not keep our blessings hidden. Amen.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.